Talk Shoes.
Recorded live.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James here, Yahweh's Covenant People. Glad you could all be here. And yeah, that was a band called Rare Bird, and the album is Epic Forest, really exquisitely done music. And it's jazz rock. Jazz rock. I know Troublemaker doesn't like jazz rock. Yeah, Yankee music, right, Troublemaker? So now last week, the show went really bad. I forgot to hit the start button, and I couldn't get online to do the live broadcast. And so the whole show went unrecorded and unbroadcast, which is all my fault, although people could hear it who were in the chat room. The people in the chat room could hear it, but there was no recording of it. So I'm going to do that all over again at a future time, and I will just kind of recap the subject matter and the creation of the Bank of England and the prostitute by the name of Barbara Villiers, who was the actual, she was, how should I put it, the go-getter, the go-between, between the banksters, the Dutch Jewish banksters, and the lords and dukes and other noblemen of Britain that had to be compromised and put under the auspice through secret society intrigue. And she was the prostitute that was used by the banksters to compromise various lords and politicians of Britain in 1694, the days leading up to 1694, when the Bank of England was created. That is probably one of the most important dates in all of history. But today, because we've been seeing so much going on in France and in Syria, that I thought that I would do a show based on that, because it's very important what's going on, and we need to understand what's really happening over there. Now, I mentioned the fact that when I published my book, The Great Impersonation, I had predicted all this. I had predicted that the Jews would topple all of the regimes in the Middle East, because the Jews claim to be God's chosen people and therefore have laid claim to that territory called Israel today, or Palestine. But it's not just that. They claim the entire territory from the Nile River to the Euphrates River, which is symbolized in their flag. So all you have to do is go online and look at their flag, which is two blue stripes on the top, a blue star or seal of Solomon in the middle, and then two more blue stripes on the bottom. And that's what the Eretz Israel flag is. It's that flag symbolizes the Jewish claim to all of that territory between the Nile and the Euphrates, okay? And because they're basically telling the world with that flag that we intend to take all this territory because we are God's chosen and therefore it belongs to us. That's basically what that flag means. And if, of course, nobody really knows that. Very few people understand that that is a Jewish racist flag, a Jewish imperialistic flag, better put, because the Jews are not a race. And it's a declaration of war. That flag is a declaration of war against all nations that exist in between the Nile and the Euphrates River. Now, first of all, let me just say, and I'm going to be putting this video up on Eurofolk Radio as soon as I can. I've done a two-part series on the fulfillment of that prophecy that was given to Abraham in Genesis 15. 18, where Yahweh promises that his descendants would one day inhabit the entire area from the Nile River to the Tigris and Euphrates. And that was actually fulfilled in the days of Christ, because on Pentecost 33 AD, the first Pentecost right after the crucifixion, the delegates from all over that territory. And the New Testament even said, in the book of Acts, it says that Israelites came from Alexandria, which is on the Nile River, and from Babylon and from Parthia, which is on the Tigris and Euphrates. And these people were Israelites, folks. They were not Jews. So that prophecy was already fulfilled in the days of Christ, and in no way, shape, or form does it apply to any stinking Jew, because the Jews are not Israelites or Shemites or Hebrews or even Adamites, for that matter. They're a completely different species, an alien species, a breed which Jesus, of course, calls the children of the devil in John chapter 8. So, knowing these things about the Jews, who they are, what they are, and what they're capable of, it made it quite easy for me to predict in my book, The Great Impersonation. Hold on, my screen just went crazy, and I lost a document that I was reading from. And hold on, my computer's going crazy. Let me try to retrieve it here. Okay, slowly but surely. Okay, there we go. All right. So in my book, The Great Impersonation, which was published in 2003, ironically enough, just around the time that Willie Martin died, I had just found out about Willie Martin and was making attempts to contact him. And then I was contacted by a relative of his who said, well, Willie Martin just died. And I said, oh, man, because he was the best living teacher of Christian, to Seedline Identity at the time. And so I was extremely disappointed that I was not able to make contact with Willie Martin. However, I did make contact with Arnold Kennedy. But he was all the way, Willie Martin was in Texas, Arnold Kennedy was in New Zealand. And Arnold Kennedy was also a very racially oriented Bible scholar, knew Greek very well. And I learned the word studies from his writings, the word studies of the actual meanings of the Greek words as opposed to the church Greek, how the churches use Greek and mistranslated into English. And they've done a number on Paul, mistranslating Paul horribly. And I learned from Arnold Kennedy the nature and extent of the mistranslations by virtually not just the English translations, but the German, the French, the Greek. All of these modern translations are horrible, really horrible. And so I learned from him the nature of the problem, and I was able to write several articles on the subject. I would refer you to anglo-saxonisrael.com and the Paul series, especially the exoneration of Paul. I wrote four articles showing that the translations of Paul's epistles are just basically garbage and cannot be relied upon in any way, because they have deliberately universalized the language of Paul. Okay, and I prove it conclusively in those four articles. So, so I was really gratified to make contact with him. We just traded emails. We did talk by phone once or twice while he made a trip to America. And so we were able to talk by phone a couple of times, but we never were able to meet. And then he died. All right. So then William Fink came along and he died too. So now finally, Greg Howard. Praise Yahweh for Greg Howard. But he is now in the midst of moving from his old apartment to a new apartment, getting settled. And as soon as he does get settled, then he will be joining me back here on Yahweh's Covenant People. So kind of a brief history of my identity experience since 2003. But in here, I'm going to be talking about the creation, okay, of the bandit state of Israel, and how the Jews are the ones who are actually creating all of this chaos in the Middle East. And those of an identity understand this. Very, very few people in the Christian world understand who and what the Jews really are, so that they cannot comprehend what's going on in the world today. And so, all right, because my program messed up, I'm going to have to find the correct terminology here. I have to enlarge my screen to find a dominoes. Oh, man. It was right on my screen, and then it just disappeared. Well, my computer's going crazy today. So I got to search for the word dominoes. Okay. Find dominoes. Okay. Here we go. And how it relates, because I made this prophecy, and it's those of you who have a physical copy of my book, know that what I'm doing, I'm telling the truth, that I prophesied the current war in the Middle East and that the Jews are going to destroy all of these sovereign countries. And we've seen them fall one by one. You know, we've had Libya, Egypt, Palestine, of course, but they were in Palestine, you know, since 1948 and even earlier. We found out that Saudi Arabia is actually run by crypto Jews and not by Muslims at all. King Faisal admitted that his family was Jewish, not Arab. And of course, Iraq, Afghanistan, and Syria, Lebanon. The Jews are after all of these countries and hope to take over them according to their master plan of Eretz Israel, okay? The interesting thing, however, is that the Jews have not even secured Palestine yet. They have by no means taken over Palestine. So from 1948 to 2015, it's been nearly 65 years and more that they've been there, and still haven't even taken over Palestine. The only thing they've succeeded in doing is using proxy armies, such as the American Army, the British Army, Germany, etc., France, the French Army, to bomb the hell out of the Middle East, all the countries that stand in the way of the Jews taking over Eretz Israel. Okay, what they call, yes, it is a strange world. And so let me just back up here because I want to quote to you the prophecy I made in this regard. Mr. and Mrs. Christian. Oh, I see there's a typo here. And that got put into the print book. It's hard to, you can proofread 333 pages as much as you will, and you're still going to miss a few things. Unfortunately, it's not paginated on this version here. Mr. and Mrs. Christian, has the whole world been deceived or not? Admit it. You have been deceived, and you are fattened. You are being fattened for the slaughter, predicted by Albert Pike, reputedly one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan. And I found out that's not true. Jefferson Davis had actually banned Albert Pike for committing atrocities against civilians during the Civil War. So he was banished to Arkansas. And while he was in Arkansas, he was writing Morals and Dogma, the history of the Freemasons, and to some extent the Illuminati. But he was, after Mazzini died, Pike became the head of World Illuminism as well. He was the 33rd degree Grand Dragon Freemason, and but he did not found the Ku Klux Klan. It was Nathan Bedford Forrest. And the reason the Ku Klux Klan was founded was because the Reconstruction movement of the radical abolitionists had sent an occupying army and to give blacks the vote against the wishes of the white population. Of course, so the Ku Klux Klan had to fight back somehow. The Southerners had to fight back somehow, and they formed the Ku Klux Klan, which means circle of family, by the way. That's Greek meaning circle of family. And so when they start putting on these white suits, the intention was to just scare the hell out of Negroes who were very superstitious, and they actually thought they were ghosts riding on horses, and they were just having fun with it. But they also found out that this was a very powerful tactic to use against blacks, and not just blacks, against whites who were committing injustices against white Southerners, okay, such as, you know, when a crooked judge would refuse to punish a black rapist or a black murderer, then the Ku Klux Klan would put their robes on, get on their horses, snatch that person, and string them up. But it was never just a random thing. It was always in response to injustices being committed against white Southerners, and most people don't know that that's what the Klan was all about. It wasn't random violence against blacks and carpetbaggers. It was vigilante justice. And it was just same thing happened in Atlanta when Mary Fagan was raped and murdered by the Jew who owned a pencil factory. And he tried to blame the illiterate janitor of the factory. Here again, that Jew who was duly found guilty by a jury and sentenced to death. The governor was visited by a bunch of Jews from New York City, and they either bribed him or intimidated him to commute the sentence. But before that Jew could get out of the prison, the Klan snatched him and strung him up because the governor refused to carry out the sentence. It's the same type of thing that was going on during the Reconstruction days in the South, and that's why the Ku Klux Klan was formed. Don't let anybody tell you that this was just random violence. No, this is vigilante justice, because the radical abolitionist military regime after the Civil War simply was oppressing white people after the Civil War. It was just as bad as the war itself for many of them. But let me continue. Okay, but that's why I brought up Albert Pike when I wrote the book, and I said reputedly one of the founders of the Ku Klux Klan, and I've recently found out that he was not. Okay, well, yeah, Tam Robb is also Ku Klux Klan. Yes, he is. And now the Klan is still alive, folks. Don't you worry. But he was also simultaneously the head of World Freemasons during the Civil War. He predicted the first two world wars and their outcomes, the victory of international communism, and he predicted a third world war, which would involve America being attacked from the outside borders. And let me elaborate here. The first world war was planned, and he, being the head of World Illuminati, he was privy to the Rothschilds' master plan of how they were going to destroy Europe and institute communism. Well, the first world war was to be fought to destroy the European monarchies, and that totally succeeded. The Second World War was to pit communism against the West, with communism coming out the victor, and and also to some extent propping up fascism. And there were many Jews who contributed to fascism. In fact, there's a lot of Jews who jokingly say that Adolf Hitler is the founder of the Jewish state. But it was Jews working behind the scenes, manipulating Stalin. But Stalin was a willing operative, and so was federal dictator Rosenfeld, and so was Winston Churchill. These three dictators combined against Germany to establish communism in Europe, and they succeeded. Okay, that was part two of the Illuminati master plan. And part three, folks, we're seeing this happening right now. Part three was to pit Islam against Christianity. Go look at the Middle East and see if that's not happening right now. Albert Pike predicted this in his correspondence. All right, so it's happening right now. He predicted the first two world wars and their outcomes, victory for international communism, and he predicted a third war which would involve America being attacked from outside its borders. And that invasion is happening in America and Europe and virtually every other white country in the world. Loose immigration policies and the invasion of Mexicans from across the border is the Zionist tactic of diluting the white race and eliminating white resistance over the long term. So this has been an ongoing, very slow process, but you can see in the last 2 years, the Jews have dramatically increased the harassment and racial attacks against the white race all over the world. Okay, let me just quickly check and see if this listener from Texas has something to say. Hello, Texas. You have a comment or question, or are you just listening? Okay, apparently nobody there. Might have stepped away from the phone. Okay, so continuing. Now from my book again, The Great Impersonation, How the Antichrist, namely the Jews, have deceived the whole world. We have been deceived and we are being eased into a mindset of giving up our liberties in favor of more government control, quote, for our own protection, unquote. And this is the Clintonistas, the Bushites, and of course, the current abomination. And by the way, Hillary Clinton, she's getting a new nickname out on the net. She's being referred to as Hitlery Clinton, the fascist from Chicago, actually Park Ridge. And both Hitlery and the abomination are proteges of none other than Saul Alinsky, a Jew communist who wrote the book Rules for Radicals. And both abomination and Hitlery are carrying out the plan that they learned from the Jew, and he was a communist. The Jew communist, Saul Alinsky. All right. So, of course, and Mr. Obama is a total mystery man. Nobody really knows his past, his education, his background. It's all a mystery. It can't be found out. And in fact, of course, he wasn't even born in America. He wasn't born in Hawaii. He was born in Kenya. So they gave him a fake Social Security number, fake this, fake that. Everything about Obama is fake. But I guarantee you, Hitlery is the real deal. If she becomes president, she will be the whore of revelation. That's what she is. She is a totally ruthless, cold-blooded person, probably even worse than Obama. So let's continue here. With staged, managed terrorist attacks, quote-unquote, like the Oklahoma City bombing and the 1993 and 2001 attacks on the World Trade Center, Americans are being duped into following the game plan for the Eighth Beast's New World Order. Did I have this figured out or did I have this figured out? Yes, Hitler was right. But he couldn't foresee a part Jewish woman by the name of Hillary Clinton being named after him. I'm sure he's insulted. Few people realize how stage-managed all international conflicts are. The blatant demagoguery of the Bush administration in its attack on Iraq was just too obvious. The publicly stated reason for invading Iraq was the alleged existence of, quote, weapons of mass destruction, unquote. By the way, I referred to these as weapons of mass deception. And we're finding that the alternative media is picking up identity jargon. They're using terms like holohoax and hoaxacost, all terms that myself and Pastor Dan and other identity preachers on the internet have been using for years. And this is finally Jews News, Kosher Press, these types of things. And the idea that the Jews are not Israelites but are actually Ashkenazi Khazars, people are beginning to find us out. It's all because we've been spreading this word for, you know, since Pastor Dan been on the radio since 1999, and I joined him shortly thereafter. So we've been on internet radio now for a good 16 years, and we've been spreading the message, and it's finally beginning to sink in. It's finally beginning to sink in, so praise Yahweh for that. The blatant demagoguery of the Bush administration in its attack on Iraq was just too obvious. Of course, it wasn't obvious to the public, but slowly but surely, people began to see that 9/11 was an inside job. The question is, who? And it certainly wasn't Arabs with box cutters. The publicly stated reason was weapons of mass destruction. And you probably have heard me say, well, if Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, why did he never use them? Right? Because he didn't have any. It was really weapons of mass deception by the kosher press. No such weapons were ever found, neither chemical nor biological. The son of a bitch lied to us. That is Bush II. At the same time, the Israeli state possesses tactical nuclear weapons. Don't think for a minute that these fanatics won't use these weapons. And they've since come up with the Samson option. Do I know these Jews? I know them inside and out because I studied their Talmud and I've studied their historical tactics. I know what they're capable of. I even know how they think because it's just it's really obvious what they're doing once you know how they think and once you know who they are. They will stop at nothing to establish their Jew world order, and they will kill millions of people because they've already done it in the past. Why would they stop now? Why aren't we telling the Jews to disarm, right? Why isn't the world telling the Jew-Israeli state to disarm? Well, that's because they own all the governments in the world, including, I'm telling you right now, including the Muslim nations. Because they're not really Muslim, they're only Muslim in name. The leadership of all these Muslim countries is really mainly secular, or it's crypto-Jewish, as it is in Saudi Arabia. I think Assad in Syria. I mean, Turkey's on the side of the Jews now. Egypt is on the side of the Jews now. Libya, you know, they murdered Gaddafi, and then they established a Rothschild bank. Libya was based on the gold standard. And the Jews couldn't have a country whose economic system is based on gold. So they had to get rid of Gaddafi. They had to destroy Libya and put it under the banking auspices of the House of Rothschild and their global usury world domination scheme. So once you know how the Jews operate, it's easy to predict their plans. So the blatant demagoguery was finally carried out. Don't think for a minute that these fanatics won't use these weapons. Why aren't we telling the Jews to disarm? Especially since the Israeli state is a theocratic dictatorship, not a democracy. That's what it is. It's actually a communist dictatorship. Jack Bernstein wrote a book, My Life in Zionist Communist Israel. There have been a lot of exposés of what the Jew-Israeli state really is. Anyway, if Saddam Hussein had actually had such weapons in usable form, he certainly would have used them. Zionist strategy in the Middle East is simple. The Muslim dominoes must fall. Let the American military machine do the dirty work for the Zionists and let the American taxpayer pay for it. And let our people die so that the Jews can take over the entire Middle East and controlling the oil there, of course, and all the nations that they will overthrow and all of the nations they will use to assist them in this overthrow guarantees their total world domination. No doubt about it. The Bush family's profiteering and the Zionists' imperialistic designs have engineered America's assault on the Muslim world. The Muslim world is the only part of the world which does not employ the Jewish usury system of debt capital. As such, Islam is the only true obstacle to complete Zionist domination. Now, part of the plan is the fact that the Rothschilds used a secret agent by the name of Hemper to create the Wahhabi sect. The Wahhabi sect is totally dominant in Saudi Arabia. It's not an original Islamic sect. It was created by the Rothschilds in order to militarize Islam. It was created by the Rothschilds to militarize Islam and to actually pit Islam against itself and to ultimately to use Islam in Albert Pike's phase three of the world domination scheme to pit Islam against the Christian West. Now, it's real obvious that since the Middle Ages, after the Moors were expelled from Spain, there has been relative peace between Islam and Christianity until 1948. There was no military activity to speak of, and we had no enemies in the Middle East. That is, America had no enemies in the Middle East until the Jews invaded Palestine. Yet the Jews are always blaming everybody else for the violence there, violence which they have created. And we know, you know, those of us in identity know these things. But I'm just pointing out here that this message must get out to the rest of the world. Other people have to hear this so they understand what's going on. So I was able to make this prediction based on my knowledge of their master plan and the way they operate, and the hatred they have for all non-Jews, especially white Christians, and the fact that they're working for the devil, as Yahshua Messiah clearly tells us in the Holy Scriptures. So, the Muslim dominoes must fall. But as I said earlier, they haven't even secured Palestine yet. So, Yahweh is not going to let them take over this territory. He's just not going to let them do it. But the whole point of what's going on here is for those of us in identity and other white Christians and some neo-Nazis and white nationalists to wake up and find out what the Jews really are. And that they are not the people of the Old Testament. This is something the neo-Nazis are still blind about, and all the white nationalists need to understand this, that the Jews are not the people of the Old Testament, and the Bible is not a Jewish book. And at EFR, we have a really great sermon by Bertrand Comparé by that title, The Bible is Not a Jewish Book. So at this time, when I published the book, 2003, Islam is the only true obstacle to complete Zionist domination. And when I made that statement, it was true. Throughout history, patriotism, nationalism, fear tactics, and ethnic pride have been used to whip people into a warlike frenzy. The war on Iraq was no different. The American people have had little inkling that their leadership has been utterly corrupted by Zionism, and that Zionism will use our military for all it is worth. Our people have been manipulated like herds of cattle into corrals of fear and retaliation. The Zionist International creates tensions between two states, and their politicians employ demagoguery and demonization in order to gain support for military operations. Think, think, think. Wake up, wake up, wake up. So I would have to say that I was absolutely right. Now, that's in print, published in 2003. Which proves that only we in identity have any real understanding of what's going on in the world today. So now let me go to Eurofolk Radio, and because I got a call from somebody who complimented me for putting this video on the air. And this is a Syrian girl who gives the point of view of the Syrian people and how they are being manipulated by the Jews and by the European Union and by the Rothschild banksters, etc., etc. And so I'm going to play now this video, and she's got more, I never heard of her until a couple of days ago, and I found this video. Let's give it a listen. I'll stop it and comment. And if you want to watch the video yourself, you can go to Eurofolk Radio under the title of The Real Force Behind the Syrian Refugee Crisis. And you can watch the video and turn the volume down because I'll be playing it. You can listen. You can stop, pause, whatever you want to do. I'm going to play it now.
This is Syrian Girl. The media is painting the refugee crisis as an acute issue, but the Syrian war and refugees have been there for 4 years. And Aylan wasn't the first child refugee to drown.
Okay, now Aylan is the little boy, the famous photo of the little boy lying on the shore. And what we found out was that his father was actually the pilot of the boat. And he was making money. He was being paid by people to get on his boat and take him to Europe for the welfare benefits that they were going to get. That's all it was about. And, of course, the mass of the Jews news, the kosher press, wasn't telling anybody about these things. And so let's continue. So, and then she says,
last month, an 11-year-old Syrian girl drowned off the coast of Egypt. So why is there such a media push now? Well, it's just in time for when France, Britain, and Australia were asked to join the U.S.'s war on Syria.
Okay, now it's not the America, it's not U.S., it's the Jewish war, okay? Everything, we have to understand, and RT does the same thing. Of course, these people are afraid of the three-letter word. They're afraid to say the word Jew. So they're not going to say Zionist. They're still not even using the word Zionist. They're cowards. They're afraid to tell it like it is. So still, at this point in time, only those of us in identity are actually telling the world what's really going on, that the Jews are behind it. So we've got a long way to go yet, but folks, we are winning the war. And of course, Yahweh guarantees us that we will win this war. And when Yahshua returns, he will bundle these Jew bastards and into tares, and they will get burned. Okay, let me continue.
In fact,
here.
The U.S. asked Australia to join its coalition a week before Aylan died. So they're using sympathy for this child's death to drop bombs on more children while crying crocodile tears over them as they run from those bombs.
Now, that's absolutely correct. It was the bombs of the EU, not America, not Britain, not the British people, not the American people. It was the EU, which is another Jewish creation, another Rothschild creation, the European Union, and the Jew banksters and the Zionists. These are the people who are dropping bombs on the Syrian people, causing the refugee crisis. Now, here's the interesting thing. We, white people, are being blamed for all this. I remember in the 1960s when on the college campuses, because I was a college student in those days, and discrimination, all of the demonstrations against racial discrimination. Oh, how can you blame the whole black race for what just a few blacks do? But it was more than just a few. And the results to the white people were devastating. But nevertheless, today, however, the media, especially the liberal Jew-controlled press, says that white people should pay the price for the sins of colonialism. Now, but that's rank discrimination. I'm not a colonialist. I'm sure nobody in the audience listening is a colonialist. We had nothing to do with the attacks. And furthermore, these attacks are being promoted by Zionist Jews. So we're being discriminated against for violent acts committed by Jews, by the world Zionists. What an incredible irony. We're not the ones doing it, yet we're being discriminated against. This is textbook classical racial discrimination against white people for crimes committed by people who aren't even white. That's the irony, folks. That's the irony, but that goes to show you the power of the Jew media. Let's continue.
Just look at this headline from The Sun. Bomb Syria for Eilan.
Okay, so in other words, The Sun, it says, and their headline is, let's bomb Syria. Let's bomb Syria.
Fuck. You'd think they'd make themselves less obvious. This is the city that Eilan comes from. The area was bombed to smithereens by the U.S. Rupert
Fuck
Murdoch
nigger.
Couldn't even...
No, not by the U.S., by the Jews. Okay, I don't know. Somebody looks like somebody is encroaching on my signal here. So please leave. Thank you.
Wait for Eilan's body to go cold before he started exploiting it for more war in Syria. Turkey is also causing the refugee crisis to push for the creation of a buffer zone in Syria as part of their continued attempt at regime change.
Now again, these are all domino states. Turkey used to be anti-Israel. Libya used to be anti, of course, Egypt. All of these countries used to be anti-Israel. But thanks to the EU, they have totally taken over all of these countries now, with the exception of Syria and Iran. Those are the last two dominoes, folks. Let's continue.
So, before you wave refugees welcome while letting your government get away with murder, there are a few things you need to know. The whole Syrian war and refugees were caused in the first place because the US and NATO backed Islamist rebels in Syria in 2011.
And not just in 2011, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Wahhabi, CIA, all of these organizations are all Jew-controlled, including Hamas is also Jew-controlled. We in Identity are the only ones that have ever reported these facts. Everybody else still believes that Jews are God's chosen. Let's continue.
In spite of this, politicians and the mass media are blaming the Syrian President Assad for Europe's entire refugee crisis.
Okay, now they're blaming Assad. Now we know that ISIS, which stands for the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, and we in Identity have been revealing this as a fact to the world, and other people are picking it up. So they changed it from ISIS to ISIL, because now everybody knows that ISIS stands for Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. So they changed it to ISIL. I have no idea what the L stands for. It's no longer relevant because we know what it is. And then they changed it to IS, simply IS, because people were catching on to what ISIS actually stands for. So all of these terrorist organizations in the Middle East are actually proxies of Israel, of the world Zionist movement. There's simply no doubt about this. Anybody who thinks otherwise is just a dupe.
And using that to convince people that there needs to be a war in Syria. But how can Assad be blamed for the entire refugee crisis when the majority of refugees aren't even Syrian, but either poor immigrant workers or refugees from other wars such as Iraq, Afghanistan, Somalia, and Libya, all the other places that have suffered US interventions in recent years? Yet the media labels them all Syrian anyway to convince Europe.
Yeah, so in other words, here we have the Jews bombing the hell out of Syria, creating the refugee crisis, and then forcing the European white people to accept all the refugees, as if we were the guilty ones and owe the Syrian people something, or any other nation something. So, but it's not just, as she's saying here, as Syrian girl is saying here, it's not just Syrians. There's blacks, there's Arabs, and the Syrians don't consider themselves to be Arabs. Neither do the Iranians. Neither do the Kurds. The Syrians actually have a lot of white in them. And some of these people look white as Americans or as Europeans. And it's because there's so much white in them that the Jews hate them so much, because they hate anything that's white. And Celtic warriors, thank you. None of the refugees are women, children, and elderly, although there are some. But yeah, the vast majority of them are actually thugs. Many of them are actually ISIS members who are being sent to Europe to destabilizing the Middle East. And now they're using this staged refugee crisis, which is being financed and organized by George Soros, the left-hand man of the Rothschilds, to attack Europe. That's what this is all about. She is right on the money. She understands what's going on. Let's continue.
Europeans that this problem can be solved by intervention in Syria. They even go as far as...
Yeah, let's bomb Syria some more and create more refugees. That's how this problem is going to be solved. Yeah, right.
...as to label sub-Saharan Africans as Syrian because they believe their viewers are too ignorant to notice the difference.
How- yes, they are. Yes, they are. The people who listen to the mass media are too ignorant to know the difference between a Syrian and a black.
How racist do you have to be to confuse Asia with Africa?
Romania's Coast Guard rescued 70 migrants, mostly Syrians and Iraqis, packed onto a small fishing boat that was in danger of sinking as they attempted to make the crossing to Europe in stormy seas.
Now it shows a picture. These are all blacks. These people are not Syrians.
It's on Saturday.
The number of Syrian refugees is also being falsely conflated because other immigrants and refugees are simply claiming to be Syrian and throwing their original passports away.
I want welfare! I'm Syrian! I want welfare!
Pakistani and Bangladeshi passports are being found discarded near border crossings.
Bangladeshi and, I think she said, Indian passports, not Syrian passports, are being tossed overboard. And these people have no passports, and but there's just a few Syrians on board. Give a listen.
Complete is here, 29%.
Okay, on our boat there were 29 persons, he says. This is a Syrian guy speaking.
Just four Syrian people. Syria,
okay, and out of the 29, only four were Syrians.
25 in Iraq.
25 from Iraq.
All the rest of them are Iraqis.
And they said, I don't have passport. I don't have passport.
So the non-Syrians threw their passports away so they couldn't be identified as non-Syrians.
Anything to say who I am. So I'm Syrian.
So she says she's Syrian.
I don't have.
And the announcer, the reporter said, where is your passport? Well, she doesn't have one either.
Government in Germany allowed everything.
But because the government in Germany allows everything for the Syrian people, everybody wants to be a Syrian where they're so popular.
You get house, you get money.
You get house, you get money, you get food.
So it pays to be Syrians.
And some European politicians are exploiting the war in Syria to push for an open border immigration policy.
There you go. Open border immigration policy. Who is behind that?
So was it the Syrian government that caused these refugees? Or was it these same politicians and their liberal interventionists that are...
Now, I'm glad she said liberal. Because that's what these people are. They're Jew liberals. This open border policy is liberal policy. It's left-wing policy. It's communist policy. It's Jewish policy. It always has been. Thank you, Celtic warriors. It's the Jews, stupid.
Are now crying over the refugees' deaths.
Yeah, now get here's the irony and the bloodthirsty cold-heartedness of these people. They're bombing the hell out of Syria, causing the refugee crisis. And then to get away from all of this chaos, some of them get on boats and come over to Europe. And then these same politicians that have been bombing the hell out of the Syrian people say, oh, see, we have to take anybody in who claims to be Syrian because we believe in open borders. Don't you see it's a war against white Christian West?
People like Angelina Jolie, ironically the ambassador of the UN refugee program,
Angelina Jolie, the actress,
caused these African refugees to drown off the coast of Libya because she supported the Libyan rebels who ethnically cleansed them.
Okay, so she's saying even Angelina Jolie is guilty.
It was also Amnesty International who claimed Gaddafi was using black immigrants as mercenaries, which...
And Amnesty International was saying that Gaddafi was using black mercenaries? I don't think so.
It resulted in their ethnic cleansing. Now, Amnesty International are raking in the donations over their deaths.
They're raking in the donations.
It was these same liberal interventionists who in 2011...
Syrian girl, I'm so glad you're using the word liberal, because that's what they are. They're leftists. These liberal interventionists, these liberal busybodies, these liberal communists and Jews are the ones behind all of this chaos. They're creating the refugee crisis by bombing the hell out of Syria and other countries. And then they say, oh, we white Europeans, we're the ones to blame. And therefore, we should do good by taking in all these refugees. Well, how about if you stop bombing them? Why don't you just stop bombing them?
Supported Al-Qaeda-affiliated rebels in Syria, and they dare yell, shame, 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 for not...
Right, she's saying the West, so-called, is the ones supporting Al-Qaeda and ISIS. Of course, of course. The Bushes, the Clintonistas, the Tony Blair, and all of these other Jew politicians.
...getting in the Syrian refugees. How about shame on you for ruining our beautiful country? The refugee crisis didn't start when Syrians tried to cross into Europe, but when Europeans tried to cross into Syria to join ISIS.
No, it wasn't really Europeans. It was Jews. It was Zionists. It was neocons. Okay? So she's close, and I don't know, being in Syria, whether she can observe what's going on in America and see the influence that AIPAC, the ADL, SPLC, and all these other Jewish groups, who are all for open borders, what all these Jewish groups have done to America and to Europe and are now doing to Syria. This is global Jewish war against the world, folks. That's what it is.
Syrians are being pushed out of their country while multinational Islamic State moves in from all over the world. But the so-called coalition on ISIS is a lie. The US and its allies have no intention of actually defeating ISIS. Instead of...
That's correct. That's absolutely correct. Because the head of ISIS is an American Jew by the name of Simon Elliott. All right? So I'm not sure if she understands how much power the Jews have here in America, but it's the tail wagging the dog, folks.
Working with the Syrian army...
Okay, Leroy says she's in Australia. Thank you.
...on the ground... They are preventing the Syrian army from doing their job. Only 4 years ago, Syria was a well-off and prosperous country that even accepted 2 million Iraqi refugees. Now, we've become the refugees. Syrian refugees want your help, yes, but to get back home to their own country. Almost half of Syria's population are refugees. 3 million outside of Syria and 7 million of them are internally.
So, out of a population of 20 million, now 10 million are refugees. This is what the Jew war, the domino war against the Middle East has accomplished in Syria.
...displaced inside Syria, shouting refugees welcome. While well-meaning is not enough, you're not going to be able to airlift 10 million Syrians into Europe. Displacing them further from their country is not ideal for anyone. The refugees want...
It's ideal for the Jews. The Muslim dominoes must fall.
...to come home. Hear them out for yourself.
My dream is for Syria to return to what it used to be. I'm reading it. Because there is no place like Syria.
My name is Rena. I wish...
Now, of course, these people have been bombed out of their homes. You have to actually see the photographs of the Syrian cities and towns, the before and after photographs, to see the absolute destruction that Jewish bombs have wreaked on Syria. But let's continue.
To come back to the lovely country when the war will end.
I like to the war that, to be end. Just I can go to see my friends and my family in Syria.
You can see that a lot of these people have much white DNA in them, and that's the reason why the Jews hate Syria so much. He says, this terrorism is done, by the way, the Israeli state is the world's biggest terrorist organization. He says, this terrorism is done via external conspiracy with external financing. But we are alive, and we are returning. We are returning. We are returning. Well, good for you. I hope you are. because the Jews have to stop bombing your country before you can return.
What's happening now?
Happening by foreign hands. We are.
The woman speaking looks absolutely white.
The Syrian, we are a good people, and we wanna complete our life in Syria.
They want to go back home. Now, this woman doesn't look quite white. I miss everything, our neighborhood, our house, our family, our gatherings. But this is what the Jews are planning on doing to America, folks. They're doing it to Europe. It's just a covert war. It's an immigration war. And at the end of this video here, I'll be quoting from Revelation chapter 12.
And we don't want to go to Europe.
To help them come.
Okay, they don't want to go to Europe, but they're being forced to because they have no place to live. They have no food, they have no clothing. And who did this to them? So, and I've been saying this for years, folks, that all of the chaos that's being created in the Middle East is getting them angry against us, and now they're immigrating into our countries and providing us with Sharia law. How about that?
Come home. You need to pressure your government to stop the war in Syria.
That's right.
By stopping the U.S.'s Saudi Arabian, Qatari, and Turkish allies from funding.
Now, she's absolutely right about Saudi Arabia. Remember, I told you they're crypto Jews. So she's absolutely right. And, of course, the Bushes would be the American branch of the crypto Jew corporation called Saudi Arabia. And Osama bin Laden was just another crypto Jew.
Funding and facilitating ISIS. By ending the political support for Al-Qaeda-linked rebels, and by preventing your government from entering a war against Syria. End the sanctions on Syria. Eilan Kurdi's dad's infected teeth pushed him to try to get to Europe and fix them. Sanctions on Syria prevented his family from sending the $14,000 required to fix them. If there were no sanctions on Syria, he would have got medical care at home and Eilan would still be alive. Before the war, medical care in Syria was free. Sanctions prevent Syria from rebuilding and fighting ISIS off itself. Rebuild Syria.
Well, how can they fight ISIS off if ISIS is the Israeli Secret Intelligence Service and it's being supported by the goons in the American government, the goons in the British government, the goons in all these other so-called Western countries who are nothing but Jew shills.
For refugees to return, concentrate on donating to organizations that help refugees inside of Syria.
This will. Well, we could do that if we weren't having to defend ourselves.
Decrease the pressure on refugee institutions inside of Syria and help external refugees return instead of getting on.
Now, the question is, why don't the Arab countries support Syria?
In a cracky boat and drowning on the way to Europe. Here are two such organizations, Wafa Relief and the Syrian Red Crescent.
There's two organizations, the Syrian Red Crescent and the Wafa Relief Fund. She's asking people to donate to these two organizations to help real refugees.
The Syrian government wants refugees to return and have put forward a plan to do so. They have asked for help in implementing that plan. Blaming the refugees themselves for the wars NATO creates is not the solution.
That's typical liberal tactics. Blame the victim.
Suddenly, so many people are disrespecting Syrians. But those people never noticed Syrians in their country when we were inventing the iPhone. Not to mention all of Western civilization.
Now, Syria used to be that used to be a purely Shemitic country. Syria was known as the whitest of the white, and they were relatives of the Hebrews. They were Shemites.
Forces that want to estrange people from their homeland and dissolve national identities altogether. Obama and other...
And that's why the Jews hate the Armenians as well.
...criminals are trying to make Syrians a people without a nation. A people without a nation suffer the worst humiliation. Look at what happened to the Palestinian people. One day, it could happen to you.
That's right.
So, defending your nationality doesn't mean disrespecting the nationality of others. By demonizing Syrian refugees, right-wing nationalists are handing liberal interventionists moral victory.
Well, I don't know what right-wing nationalists she's talking about, because we're certainly not demonizing Syrian refugees. We're telling people that the refugee crisis is being caused by Jews, and it's the Jews that are the problem and not Syrian refugees. But the problem is, now maybe she's talking about Greece, you know, because the Greeks have had their head, you know, their country full of Jews, with the Jewish banksters, and Greece has been the dumping off point of these refugees. So she might be referring to the right wing movement in Greece, but that's because they're bearing the brunt of all of this.
Jury on a silver platter. People are sympathetic to that boy and his family, and any group that demonizes them comes off as being sociopaths and alienate everyone. For example, this UKIP politician had to apologize for his statement, "The little Syrian boy was well clothed and well fed. He died because his parents were greedy for the good life in Europe."
Well, that's actually true, because his parents were actually going to Europe to get welfare, and they were not refugees.
Syrians had the good life before the UK government interfered.
Your home?
No. Nothing. I don't have a home.
And what happened to your business in Aleppo? Does it exist anymore?
No, it's not existed anymore.
Everything gone.
Now it is given. I am in production here. Now it is given.
They handed him a towel. The guy lost his home, and he got a towel when he finally arrived in Europe. And so this is another Syrian lady who can't speak English. Once I start thinking about my life 4 years ago, and of course this started 4 years ago, we had a safe life.
Yes, in Syria I had...
And this is this white Syrian lady. She's driving a car, and she says, these European cars are not as good as Syrian cars.
My own car, it's like you, a car you can't drive. It's really hard to drive in this car. We still...
It's probably made in China.
We don't have a good job to buying a good car like in Syria.
We were comfortably off. I was a housewife and my husband had work, thanks to God. We moved to the village because the villages were safe, speaking of Syria. And then the war came to the villages. Now, who brought the war to the villages? Who brought the war to Syria? Who brought the war to Syria? This is the question everybody should be asking, but you're not going to get the answer from the Jews News. You're not going to get the answer from the kosher press, the talking heads who are nothing but Jew shills. Islamists came and kidnapped him for a month. Now, they're doing the same thing to Syria that they did to Iraq. Iraq was, in fact, the most westernized country in the whole Middle East. The Jew press simply lied that Sharia law and you know, women were being oppressed. Women were college professors in Iraq. It was not a Muslim country. Yes, there were Muslim sects, but it was not a Muslim country. And here the people that are arguing against all of these attacks are saying Syria was a secular country. It's not an Islamic country. Let's continue. They broke his jaw. Her husband's jaw. Sometimes we reminisce. Yes, we can talk about things like that. Well, these people are in this refugee camp. I think there's several hundred thousand in Turkey. But Turkey can only house so many refugees. So the children don't forget how well they had it in Syria.
Why don't the Syrians stay in Turkey? Well, Syrians who are used to a high standard of living get tired of 3 years in a tent in Turkey.
Okay, 3 years in a tent in Turkey, folks. That's coming home to America. The Jews are going to do this to us, too, if we don't organize against them. They're doing it to Europe right now, and Obama plans to import millions of Somalis into America. He's already started doing it.
No prospects of a future. Numbers are very high in the million, and conditions are bad. Turkey won't improve these conditions, but want to continue sending terrorists to Syria. People are also...
Okay, so Turkey makes a show of housing refugees, but at the same time is still financing ISIS, just like the Jews and the Zionazis are.
Asking, why aren't Syrians being helped by other Muslim countries? Well, Turkey and Jordan have taken a million each. What these people are really asking is why aren't the rich Gulf Arab states accepting Syrian refugees?
Okay, the question is why aren't the rich Gulf Arab states accepting Syrian refugees? That's the question. Now listen to her answer.
Refugees. Because in the words of this Kuwaiti politician, we Syrians have a...
Kuwaiti politician, she's got a fairly thick accent.
A different culture and ethnicity to Arabs.
Okay, so this Kuwaiti Arab is saying that the Syrians are a different ethnicity. They're not the same people as Arabs. Why? Because they're whiter than Arabs.
They don't see Syrians as Arab. And they don't...
They don't see Syrians as Arabs, and the Iranians don't see themselves as Arabs either.
Don't accept them as their kin.
Okay, so these Arabs will not accept these Syrians. So... even though they live right next door, they won't accept any Syrian refugees, which means that we whites have to accept them. Do you smell a conspiracy, folks?
Since when have the Gulf lifted a finger to help Palestinians?
Since when have the Arabs lifted a finger to help anybody, really?
Anyway, while it is true the people of the Levant have as little in common culturally with Arabs as they do with West Europe, this doesn't change the fact that it is the Gulf Arab states that caused the Syrian problem by backing the terrorists.
That's right. The Gulf Arab states, because they're working in league with the Jews. Remember I told you the Saudi royal family are crypto Jews. Going back hundreds of years, Saudi Arabia is ruled by crypto Jews. Yes, Celtic wars, and because most Arabs are genetically identical with Jews.
They won't invest in helping Syrian refugees because they are busy spending the money on ISIS and buying golden toilets.
Right. They are busy spending their money on ISIS and golden toilets.
But why doesn't Israel take any refugees?
Oh, why doesn't Israel take in refugees? Good question.
After all, it's on Syria's border and it's in the Levant.
It's on Syria's border. Why don't they take people right across the border?
Syrian people's historical land. Israel is grayed out in this image, as if it doesn't even warrant consideration.
Well, Israel, the Israelis don't take any refugees. They don't take black refugees, right? Even the people who call themselves black Hebrews or black Israelites, many of them have petitioned to go to Israel, and Israel sent them to Sweden instead.
I guess Israel is the only country in the world that's allowed to be racist. It's funny to hear Zionists talk about how Europe need to accept Syrian refugees when they won't even let Palestinian refugees return to their own homes and villages. I've also heard why Germany, not Greece. Well, I'll let this Syrian refugee tell you.
I didn't stay in Greece because it does not offer any benefits or work. It can't help its own people, let alone help us.
The most honorable are the Syrians still in Syria fighting for their country. But how can one blame those that run if they themselves aren't fighting with a gun in their hand? It's time to point that...
Okay, keep your guns. Don't let them take your guns away.
...that finger inward. Save your nation and stop your governments from starting these wars.
Okay.
This is Syrian girl.
Save your nation and stop all of these wars. Okay, so the American people have yet again been duped into another global Jewish war. Those of us in identity understand that World War I, World War II, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, and every other conflict in the modern era has been financed by Jew banksters and been promoted by Jew communists and Zionists and neocons, etc., etc. This is the reality. This is the reality that the world must wake up to. And your folk radio, and of course, Identity, has been leading the way in this realization that the Jew is the world's biggest terrorist and the Israeli state is the biggest corporate terrorist entity on the planet. And until people wake up and get their governments to stop supporting Israel, there will be no peace on earth. So thank you, Syrian girl, for that excellent summary of what's going on in the Middle East and who is causing the refugee crisis and who is being blamed. Folks, this has to stop. This has to stop. All of these rich Jews, because we probably can't arrest all Jews, but all of these rich Jews have to be rounded up and put in the Department of Homeland Sabotage detention camps that they have built for us. And we are going to have to put them in there. And those coffins that they have made for us will be for them. This is what's going to happen, folks. Remember, let's go to Revelation chapter 12 and understand what's going on here. We have about 20 minutes to cover this. So let me start with verse 3. We know about verse 1 and 2, which is the woman crowned with 12 stars, which has to be Israel, not the Jews. Has to be Israel, not the Jews. Verse 3, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon. Red stands for communism. Red stands for Esau. And red stands for the devil. Having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns upon his head. This is the reference to the 7 beasts that had as their leader the whore, the Jewish money-lending whore, riding on top of them. All the way to ancient Egypt, you had the fractional reserve banking system and funny money riding on all of these 7 beasts, 7 heads, which are kingdoms and empires, not mountains, as the Seventh-day Adventists teach. Verse 4, and his tail, the dragon's tail, drew the third part of the stars of heaven, that's talking about the third of the angels that rebelled with Lucifer, and did cast them to the earth. And now they're here on the earth, wreaking havoc here. And the dragon stood before the woman. Who's the woman? We are the woman. Caucasian Israel. Which was ready to be delivered. Now this is, in my opinion, a direct reference to 1776, when America founded the world's first Christian republic. Christian republic. America is a Christian republic. Never forget that. All the founding fathers were Christians, and the war was prosecuted by the Black Robed Regiment, the Christian pastors of the American Revolution, whose slogan was, "No king but Jesus." For to devour her child as soon as it was born. Well, they tried to destroy America while it was in the process of being born, did they not? Verse 5, and she brought forth a man-child. Who was the man-child? America, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Of course, there's also a reference to Yahshua Messiah. But this is a flashback to the past. And he will rule all nations when he comes back as the Lion of Judah. Verse 6, and the woman, that is true Israel, Caucasian Israel, fled into the wilderness. What? The wilderness of America, where she has a place prepared of God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, Lucifer, and the dragon fought and his angels. So we got war in heaven and we have war on earth. as in heaven, so here on earth. Verse 8, and prevailed not, the dragon prevailed not. So this is the good news, folks. We know that the Jew is going to perish, and he's going to be judged and gathered and burnt in the fires of hell. Neither was their place found any more in heaven, so none of these angels that fell will ever go back to heaven or into the kingdom. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. Now, who is deceiving the world by pretending to be Israel? He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So we're dealing with a demon people, folks. These hybrid people called Jews, their bodies house demon spirits. Verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Messiah. For the accuser of our brethren, who's always accusing us? The Jew is always accusing us, Caucasian Israelites, of being racist, anti-Semites, warmongers, when they're the ones who are. See, the devil always points the finger at the innocent. For the accuser of our brethren, who's our Christian Israel, is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. The Jews never stop accusing us and blaming us for the crimes they commit, for the genocide they commit, for the wars that they stage. Verse 11, and they overcame him, that is we, Christian Israel, and of course, Yahshua's angels, overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Hear what we're saying here, the word of our testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death. Give me liberty, or give me death. Verse 12. Therefore, rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you, don't we know it? Having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. Now do you understand why the Jews are ramping up their race war against us? Because they know they've only got a little time left. And because they can't attack Yahweh and they can't attack Yahshua, they have no choice but to attack us. But remember, our Bible says that if we obey his laws, they cannot touch us. Verse 13, and the problem is most whites aren't obeying Yahweh's laws. That's why they're being annihilated. Verse 13, and when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. Who's being persecuted? Christians or Jews? The Jews control the world. They're obviously not being persecuted. We are. And they hate us in identity even more than they hate normal Christians. Or actually, they're the abnormal Christians. We're the normal Christians. Denominational Christianity. They hate us even more. We are hated for his name's sake. Even other Christians hate us because we teach the true gospel. And, okay, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Of course, we are the woman. Verse 14, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle. What's the symbol of America? The bald eagle. That she might fly into the wilderness of America, into her place where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. We were being protected from the Jews during the first 120 years of our existence. until the creation of the Federal Reserve Bank, when they took total control of America. And as you know from my teachings, the Jews fomented the Civil War as well. Now, verse 15, and this applies to what's happening right now. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman. This is a flood of immigrants. The Jews are using immigrants to make war against us, to dilute and pollute our seed, to destroy our countries. Let me say one thing that's indisputable. No other race has ever produced the Republican form of government. Only white people have ever produced a Republican form of government. All other races and nations have produced nothing but dictatorships. All other races of people have oppressed their women constantly and still do today. Women in Muslim countries have absolutely no rights. Women in Africa have absolutely no rights. Women in Asia have absolutely no rights. Even in Japan, they still use them as geisha girls. And in China, and I believe also Japan also, they put the little baby girls into swaddling clothes that prevent their legs from growing. So they'll have stunted growth in their legs. In Africa, they practice circumcision of the female genitalia. Yet all we hear from the Jews is, oh, white people are oppressive. We're not doing any of these things. The Jews are the ones practicing sex slavery. The Jews are the ones bombing the hell out of Syria and other countries. And yet the feminists accuse us of being oppressive? I don't think so. I don't think so. Who's the accuser? Who's the accuser? The Jew is the false accuser, folks. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. That he might, but he's not going to succeed. And as we continue to wake up our fellow white people and turn our Judeo-Christians into real Christians, our people will begin to wake up and start fighting back. And even many who don't wake up totally will have to start fighting back, if only to protect themselves, their property, and their families. Because this is a world war, folks. World War III has begun. Pike's prophecy, Albert Pike, the world head of the Illuminated Freemasonry, predicted these wars, folks, and it's coming true. It's happening right now. And this prophecy of Revelation 12:15 is happening right now as we speak. Don't tell me we don't understand the book of Revelation. Verse 17. And the dragon was angry with the woman. The Jews are angry with us. Esau hated his brother Jacob. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Now this is speaking about us. Those of you in the chat room who are Christian Israelites, this is speaking about us. And went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Only those of us in identity keep the commandments of Yahweh and have the true testimony of Yahshua Messiah. There is absolutely no doubt about this, because the Judeo-Christians have turned against Yahshua with their lies and with their antinomianism and with their dispensationalism and their apostasy. The Judeo churches are nothing but apostates who teach lies in the name of Scripture. And to conclude, I'm going to go to the first epistle of John, the same person who wrote the Apocalypse. Chapter 2, verse 1, "My little children, these things write I to you, that you sin not." Now remember, these words were written at least 40, 50 years after the crucifixion. So the lie that the Judeo-Christian ministry teaches, that we were all saved at the cross and there is no more sin, that's just a lie. He's admonishing us to sin not. "And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the righteous, Yahshua Messiah, the righteous one." That, what's righteous? He obeys the law. Verse 2. "And he is the propitiation for our sins," we for Israelite sins. "And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." But the sins, the words "the sins of" were added by the translators. Of course, we are the light of the world, and the world will improve only to the extent that we, Christian Israelites, understand who we are and fulfill our mission as the light of the world. Verse 3, "And hereby we do know that we know him," that is, Yahshua Messiah, "if we keep his commandments. He that says, 'I know him,' and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So all of these Judeo-Christians who say that the law has been done away with, John is telling them they are liars if they do not keep the commandments. I hope I'm not preaching to the choir. I hope I'm reaching some white Judeo-Christians who need to hear the truth, possibly for the first time in their entire lives. Many of these Judeo-Christians have been brought up in churches, in antinomian churches and dispensationalist churches, who teach this rubbish that the law has been done away with. And the Jew-sponsored televangelists teach this rubbish also. Ladies and gentlemen, John 8:39. I'll see. I think I have less than 2.5 minutes left, but I can refer people. Go to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Read verses 39-47, and read what Jesus the Christ has to say about these stinking Jews, these warmonger, genocidal maniac Jews who are responsible for all the wars. And in Matthew chapter 23, where Jesus tells us that these Pharisees that he was criticizing up to his time in history were guilty of the murders of all the prophets from Abel down to Zechariah in his time. And folks, they're also guilty of the murders of all of the Israelite prophets from that time until now. This is what the Bible teaches. Father Yahweh, I pray, send your son Yahshua now. Send him today. Get this war over with. I'm sick and tired of seeing my people being slaughtered by these perfidious, evil, sick Jews who do nothing but evil and create war and chaos and bloodshed and have no compassion whatsoever for any of their victims. Put an end to this blight called Jewry. In the name of Yahshua, I pray it. Thank you. We'll be right back.
call recording has been completed.